Good day, and welcome to the Big East Men's Basketball Coaches Media Teleconference. Today's teleconference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to John Paquette. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on our men's basketball teleconference. We'll have each coach on for approximately 8 minutes. After an opening statement, you can ask questions by hitting star one on your telephone, and then the operator will introduce you. First up, as per usual, we have Greg McDermott of Creighton. Creighton played last night at Villanova. Villanova came away with an overtime win, 66-59. Blue Jays are staying in the Eastern time zone. They have a game at Seton Hall on Saturday. Greg, thanks for joining us on the call. If you can give us a brief comment on last night's game and then moving forward to Seton Hall.
Yeah, I'm really proud of the way our guys competed last night. Obviously, we're extremely shorthanded with two starters out right now, and the bench is really thin. So we, you know, played a little bit different style of game than we're accustomed to playing. I thought our players executed it almost to perfection and, you know, fought tooth and nail with Villanova for 45 minutes. It came up a little short, but really proud of our guys and the way that we put ourselves in a position to win a game against a very good team last night.
Questions for Coach Greg McDermott? Hit star one on your telephone. The operator will introduce you.
And our first question will come from Sean Brennan with BigEast.com. Please go ahead.
Sean, go ahead.
Caller, your line is open.
Let's try to move on, operator. Hopefully Sean will call back.
All right. We will move to our next caller, John Natalia with Omaha World Herald. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Greg, I was wondering, when you reviewed the game, yes, in the second half, maybe it was a little bit of a struggle to get the ball to Martine. Was that more of what Villanova did in terms of their adjustments, or did you feel like there were some openings there to get Martine more involved?
You know, they started switching some ball screens and made it more difficult to get it inside. We probably missed him a couple times, but I think as much of it had to do with Villanova as it did with, you know, our inability to get it there. Obviously, it was a focus of ours going into the game, and for the most part, we did a good job of that. But, you know, their adjustments really plugged up the inside. They helped off a couple guys in the perimeter and made the over-the-top pass difficult. And some of their switching, you know, switching Pascal onto them made it tough to get it in there.
That's about the only thing that I could think of is why the offense kind of bogged down. Was there anything else that you kind of thought about as to why it was maybe a little bit tougher to get points on the board at last 4 minutes of regulation?
Well,
or so?
Well, we scored 24 points the first half, 25 points the second half. So I don't know. I mean, if we wanted it bogged down. It needed to be very slow paced and take as much of the shot clock as we could. You know, give ourselves a chance to win a game like that against a team with Villanova when we were that shorthanded.
Gotcha. And then with Tyshawn, is it a knee injury?
It is a knee injury, and he'll have an X-ray and an MRI later this afternoon, and hopefully we'll have more information.
Thank you.
And we will take our next question from John Fanta with Big East Digital Network. Please go ahead.
Hey, Greg. I mean, I know obviously the style of the game last night isn't typical of what you play, but is there anything you can take with you going forward that you learned about the way your team played last night?
You know, I just think sometimes when teams have injuries, they're going to go one direction or another, and you know, they can have a woe is me feeling and have a bunch of built-in excuses, or you go out and you try to fight and claw and try to put yourself in a position to win. And obviously, you know, Marcus and Tyshawn are really important to what we do. They're besides being two of our better scorers, they're also two of our primary ball handlers. So the fact that we were able to compete without them and guys did what we had to do defensively and then offensively, you know, we had to start the game, and I thought our guys did a pretty good job of making that happen.
What makes this version of Villanova so tough to beat?
You know, they have a lot of weapons. Obviously, you know, Booth and Pascal are extremely talented. I think Gillespie's playing at a very high level right now. But, you know, I think some of their role players, you know, Bay had a big night last night. You know, Samuels gives them some things. And certainly, you know, Cosby Roundtree around the rim, being able to block shots and change shots and switch ball screens. You know, their versatility defensively, you know, is really hard to play against. And I think they've made really good strides on that end of the floor. And then offensively, they spread you out, especially the second half when, you know, they got in the bonus I don't know that we ever got in the bonus in the second half or overtime. But once they get in the bonus, they can spread you out. And they're so physical, being able to drive those seams with Booth and Pascal, that it's hard to guard them and keep them off the free throw line. So, you know, they're very disciplined in what they do. I've said it before, they don't beat themselves. You know, you have to figure out a way to make fewer mistakes than they do, and that's very difficult to do.
And we'll take our next question from Sean Brennan with BigEast.com. Please go ahead.
Morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Greg, I'm doing a story for the tournament program, and I know it's a little ways out yet and stuff, but especially being that you played Villanova last night, you might be able to answer this better than most. You still see, because the conference is kind of still bunched up in the middle, do you see this as anyone's tournament this year, or is the road to the title still going through Villanova this year?
Well, you know, I think until somebody proves they can beat them, I think you have to say that the road to the title goes through them. You know, they haven't lost a game in our league since last February when they played at our place, including the Big East tournament. So, you know, that's quite a run, and it's quite an accomplishment by Jay and his team. So I think there's more parity in the league, maybe 1 through 10, than there's been, and certainly 3 through 10, that there's been in any time that I've been in the league in the 6 years that we've been part of it. But I still believe until somebody can crack Villanova's code, I think they would have to be the favorite.
Do you think that the way you played last night, with, like I said, with, you know, Tyshawn and Marcus, that, and you brought them right to the wire there and forced overtime, that it proves it, or it shows that maybe they're a little bit more vulnerable than in past years?
Yeah, you know, I think they are. I mean, they had 4 NBA guys last year. So, and
yeah,
all 4 of them are essentially first-round picks, and all 4 of them are playing in the NBA right now and playing important roles on their team. So you don't lose that kind of firepower. Now, I still think there's some NBA talent on that team, the guys that are going to go on and have good careers in the NBA, but there's not 4 of them. And, you know, that's the biggest difference. They're still extremely talented. They're very fundamentally sound in their approach on both ends of the floor. And they don't beat themselves. And I think in a tournament setting, in a three-day tournament, you have to kind of know who you are and what to expect. And I think Villanova understands who they are. They're not going to take a lot of chances. They're going to make solid fundamental plays. And, you know, if they shoot the basketball well, they're extremely difficult to beat. And, you know, last night, you know, I thought we defended the three-point shot well. Having said that, they probably missed a few when we were a little late that they don't normally miss. And I think that has to be your hope, that you catch them on a night when they're not making three-point shots.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Greg.
You bet.
Greg, we appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for checking in on the road.
Thank you.
Thanks. Again, Creighton's next game is at Seton Hall, and that's on Saturday, 8 p.m., CBS Sports Network. Next up, we have Ed Cooley from Providence. Friars were in action last night. Georgetown won a game 76-67. Friars 13-9, 3-6 at the Garden on Saturday against St. John's. Noon tip also on CBS Sports Network. Ed, thanks for joining us on the call. If you could give us a brief thought on last night's game and then moving on to St. John's.
Well, good morning, everybody. Hope you're well. You know, we're just having a tough time putting the ball in the basket. I thought Georgetown had a good game plan. You know, they were first to the ball, first to the floor. You know, we didn't do a really good job checking guys out. You know, I don't know. I mean, we gave up a ton of offensive rebounds, and we weren't able to convert some of our open looks. You know, we're looking forward to playing a very talented St. John's team on the road. You know, we're in a little rut here, and we got to do a good job getting our guys in a good space, trying to get them focused on, you know, the bigger picture and just continue to improve every game.
Questions for Coach Ed Cooley. Hit *1 on your telephone. The operator will introduce you.
We'll take our first question from Sean Brennan with BigEast.com. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Ed.
Sean, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
Hanging, babe.
I'm doing a story for the tournament program. And I know it's, you know, a little bit ways out stuff, but I'd like to get your feelings on how you think the tournament may shape up this year with a lot of teams, maybe outside of Villanova and Marquette, all bunched together. Is this kind of a more wide open, anyone can win it type of thing, or do all roads still go through Villanova?
I think it's a fair question. I think anything's possible in tournament play because it's a one and done deal. But when you look at what Villanova's done, you know, I don't remember the last game they lost in league play. You know, they won the Big East Championship last year. You know, they have two really talented, experienced fifth-year seniors in Eric Paschal and Booth. You know, they may have lost a lot, but they're incredibly disciplined. They're incredibly tough. Anything could happen, but I still think they got to be the front runner to be a tournament champion. But like any other year, I think anything's possible. The league is incredibly balanced. But, you know, if you're a betting person, it's hard to bet against what they've been able to do in league play. You got to go back some time. I think their last loss may have been at Creighton last February, if I'm not mistaken.
That's
so
true.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's, you know, Jay's done a great job, given that he lost four NBA guys. So, you know, it's a way away in that tournament. Anything's possible, but you know, it's hard to bet against them.
Okay. Thanks, Ed.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from Evan Daniels with Fox Sports.
Hey, Coach. Wanted to, ask you about Phil Booth. He's obviously having a tremendous season. What makes that dude so difficult to contain? And on the flip side, what's he done maybe differently than the past couple of years? Obviously, they lost a bunch of NBA guys, but, I mean, he's having an awesome season.
Seems like Phil's been in the league since I've been an assistant at Boston College. You know, he's been in the league a long time. you know, his maturity, he is the leader. It looks like he is the leader of that team. You know, he knows it's his time. He's made some big shots for them. He plays at a great pace. He's really tough. He's played in big, big games. Yeah, he's good. I just think his maturity, his toughness, his experience, the way he's coached, I think you add all those things in there. I mean, he's got to be one of the leading candidates right now for the league's most valuable player. You know, he would get my vote right now, to be honest with you. He's done a hell of a job.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from Ben Steele with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Hey, Coach, how you doing today?
What's up, Benny?
I got a little weird question for you today. You know, everyone knows Marcus Howard now. He's kind of nationally known, but his first real breakout game, I think, was against you guys at the Dunkin' Donuts Center last year. I hate to bring up bad memories for you, but what do you remember about that game where he scored 52 points?
We lost. I mean, you know, he had a great – you know, we lost. I mean, he had a great game, and he's a great player. He's a talented individual scorer. You know, I think we made some adjustments the next time we played him. But, I mean, he's a great player. He's one of our best players in our league. He carries himself great. I love how he carries himself off the court, how he's interviewed. He's very humble. The only thing I remember about that game is we lost. I mean, we're going back some time now. And in our sport, you better have some amnesia because our league's too tough to worry about what happened last year.
Cool, man. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
Ed, we appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We are reaching out to Coach Dave Lato of DePaul, who's next on the schedule. If you have not applied for Big East Tournament credentials, you can do so online at www.sportsystems.com/Big East. Sports Systems, double S in the middle, S on the end, .com/Big East. And again, next on the schedule is Coach Dave Lato from DePaul. DePaul 12-9 overall, 4-6 in the Big East. As of today, we have 4-4-6 teams in the Big East, Seton Hall, DePaul, Butler, and Creighton. DePaul's last game was last Saturday when they defeated Providence 67-55. And DePaul is at Xavier. They haven't played since last Saturday. They've been off this week. They are playing at Xavier, FS1 game at 8 o'clock on Saturday evening. Hang on with us just a second here. And we have Coach Dave Lato on the line now from DePaul. Coach, thanks for joining us again. Said that you're 12-9 overall, 4-6 in the Big East. Had this week off until Saturday when you are playing at Xavier. So if you can give us maybe some thoughts on the matchup upcoming against Xavier, and then we'll open it up for questions.
Yeah, so thank you. Be the second time we've played Xavier, and so, you know, you've got to look at the first game, although it was a while ago, around the turn of the year, and see what you did, what you didn't do to try to maximize yourself, and then, you know, getting a look at what they're doing, and obviously, as you mentioned, us having a week off, which is the same for them. They've got this week off to be able to prepare and get ourselves ready is very important. Anytime you go on the road in this league, it's an extreme challenge, and that building is extremely formidable. So we've got our hands full, quite obviously, with the task of trying to win a basketball game. So we're just trying to, you know, as most teams are in this league, go game to game and stay as healthy and as sharp as you possibly can, and that's what we're trying to do in getting ready for Xavier.
Questions for Coach Dave Lato, hit *1 on your telephone. The operator will introduce you.
And we'll take our first question from Evan Daniel with Fox Sports. Please go ahead.
Hey, Coach. Question about Paul Reed. You know, you make cases and maybe the most improved player in the league, certainly one of them. What have you seen from a growth standpoint, and what do you kind of pinpoint as maybe a reason for it?
Yeah, thanks, Evan. You know, there's always a couple of reasons for certain things, and with him, you know, there are a few. The most importantly is his confidence through playing time, and he started out the season coming off the bench, and once he was inserted into the starting lineup, he kind of has never looked back from a confidence standpoint. But from a structural standpoint, you know, he's a very unique guy because he's got really good hands. He pursues the basketball both off the backboards and to get it. And he has a really, really nice touch for a big guy, especially in traffic. He's one of the better finishers in traffic that you're going to see. So, you know, I think that plus a few other things that makes him really good. I think he works really, really hard. He comes in early and stays late, and he doesn't mess around when he's in the gym. He works on specific things that are part of his game. And, you know, he's gotten gotten better and better, as you said, as the season has gone along. He's not gotten worn down. And I think, you know, most importantly, as I mentioned, that confidence has risen as he's seen success throughout the course, especially in the Big East season.
Awesome. Thank you. One last quick question. Who would you say is the Big East player of the year, you know, halfway through the league so far?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. You know, there are a few obvious candidates, and Shamari Ponds has come to mind for what he's done, you know, especially at the outset of the season and establishing himself. You know, it's the same goes for Miles Powell for the importance that he is to Seton Hall and what he not only means to the team, but how he's played. And Marcus Howard probably is the other guy that has been really a difficult cover for everybody, and has had some very explosive games, you know, that are known nationally. And so, you know, if you talk about those three off the top of the bat, you know, it'd be one of those three. Probably me personally, just because of the way he's impacted the Big East throughout the country, it would be Howard.
Awesome. Thanks, Coach.
Okay.
Do we have the next questioner, please? Hello?
There are no further questions in the queue at this time.
Okay, I thought we had another one, Dave, but looks like it went away. Let's try it again. I just saw the name pop in again.
We'll take our next question from Roger Rubin with Newsday. Please go ahead.
Hey there, Dave.
Hey, Roger.
I wanted to ask you about STEMI. Can you, first of all, how big a deal was it that when he had such a large selection of colleges to choose from his grad transfer that he chose DePaul? And since he's been a part of your program, what ways has he changed the way that the team plays on the court and maybe has influenced its culture off of it?
Yeah, those are good questions, Roger. I think, you know, in the recruitment process, it was just, you know, understanding personalities and what he was looking for and what we needed, and trying to match those up. Obviously, he, you know, went to visit a few places, and so there was a lot of trepidation whether, you know, he was going to come to DePaul or go somewhere else. But in getting to know him, you know, he's a guy of tremendous fiber, very high quality individual, and so when he speaks and when he spoke at that time, it was truth. And so you kind of knew a little bit where you stood. And, you know, sometimes you feel comfortable and sometimes you're a little nervous because he had some really good choices, to go with. And so we were just happy to ultimately get him. And I think that belief in what we're building here and what we try to do and how he could be a major part of that was really important. So we were happy from that standpoint. And since he's been here, you know, I think both on and off the court, he's been a tremendous, tremendous addition. And going back to what I said and the kind of individual he is, and, you know, it's not real easy to come in here in your fifth year and fit in the way he's fit in and speaks to the kind of quality, and understanding that he has as a person, as a young man, and to set your mark in things that you want to do, but yet don't rattle the cage, to make things worse than it could be. So that part has been really smooth from that standpoint. On the court, you know, he's added a tremendous addition as our second leading scorer throughout the course of the season. There's a guy you can go to who is back to the basket and also facing the basket. And he's had some tremendous games both offensively and on the backboards. He shares the ball really well if he's double teamed or is in a crowd, and he's added a dimension which has allowed us, quite honestly, to, and I didn't know it would quite be like this, to play much more inside out than most teams do, in the age of 3-point shooting. And, he's given us a weapon that has become very, very valuable for us.
Thank you, Dave.
Dave, thanks for
your
time as always. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, DePaul's next game is at Xavier, and that's on Saturday night, 8 p.m. on FS1. Next up, we have Coach LaValle Jordan of Butler. Butler also last played last Saturday, and the Bulldogs won 70-68 over Seton Hall. They're at Georgetown this Saturday, noon tip-off on FSN. Coach, thanks for joining us on the call. If you could maybe give us some thoughts on the upcoming matchup with Georgetown, and then we'll open it up for questions.
Thanks. You know, it's we've been on the bye week as well since last Saturday. So trying to manage the bodies and you know, just give guys time to rest, but also at the same time, you know, just trying to make sure we're as sharp as we can be heading into heading to DC on Saturday. Obviously, they played last night, watching their Providence game, and went on the road and got a big win. I think their freshman guards are playing with extreme confidence, and they're a really connected group. They're leading our league in assists, and it seems to be that they're continuing to get better. And so we have 2 days here to prepare for them and try to make sure we're ready.
Questions for Coach LaValle Jordan, hit *1 on your telephone, please.
And we'll take our first question from David Woods with Indianapolis Star. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, LaValle. I was wondering if you've been able to tell that your guys have really benefited from the extra rest this week. You had pretty long siege there. I think you had 10 games in 32 days, and this is really like the first rest that you've had in a pretty long time.
Yeah, January was a real grind. You know, we were on a 2-day play on the third day for about 7 straight games there, and we had 1 day maybe extra before we had the last couple with at Creighton and then Marquette. And so it was definitely a grind. I felt like guys needed a blow, and so it was good to have a Sunday off after Seton Hall. We took Sunday off, practiced a couple of days. We took yesterday off to try to just make sure we're fresh heading into the weekend. And so, you know, it's twofold. You could try not to lose your conditioning in times like this because you don't have a game. And so we went pretty hard on Tuesday to try to maybe get that adrenaline and as much of a game-like, feel as you could. But then you want to stay rested at the same time, so you got enough energy on Saturday. So I think it was a timely for us, and so we'll see how we do on Saturday, and if we go up there and get it done, then we did the right thing.
We'll take our next question from Evan Daniels with Fox Sports. Please go ahead.
What's up, LaValle? I'm kind of polling the league. We're at the midway point, trying to see where everybody thinks the player of the year race stands. I'm curious, if you can only pick one guy, who would you say is the favorite to win that award thus far?
My favorite is my guy, Kamar Baldwin. But I think Marcus Howard has had a spectacular season up to this point. Obviously, he came in and we had a game going on, and he really played well against us in terms of guys that we've played against. I thought he was probably the hardest match so far, and played in terms of guys at the top of the league and their teams at the top of the league right now. And so Pascal obviously also played really well against us here, but I think Marcus Howard's having a phenomenal season.
What makes him so hard to guard or to contain, I guess?
He's got the ability to make difficult shots, Evan. It was, we actually got him off the 3-point line. I think he only made 2. But he hit floaters from everywhere on the court, and most of them were guarded. And that's, you just got to get your guys to stick with it, because you're assuming he can't continue to make those. But against us, he did. and he rose to the occasion when they needed a couple big ones. He rose to the occasion and made them. And so, he was tough that night.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from Tom Davis with 10 Sports. Please go ahead.
Morning, Coach. Thanks for taking time for this today.
Thank you.
I was curious. Mac McClung didn't play in your first game against Georgetown. What does that add differently to your preparation for Georgetown? What's he do for their team that maybe makes that this scout a little bit different than maybe your first game against them?
Yeah, you know, what makes them really good, Tom, is Mac McClung didn't play, but Malinowski had, like, the best game he's had in the Big East against us, so they had another guy step up, and now they're both healthy and available. And so, yeah, I think he gives them a confidence boost and another impact score. Just watching them make big shots, you know, the Providence game that went to double overtime, I believe, where he stepped up and nailed big ones. And I think they're two freshman guards. Like I said earlier, they have an extreme confidence and they play fearlessly. And they make some freshman mistakes, but the confidence that they play with is dangerous because they're not afraid to take big shots and they've made them already. And so they give them, you know, a swagger.
Okay, and Georgetown gets to the line a lot. So what do you need to do from a defensive standpoint? Because obviously they've made a habit of wanting to attack teams offensively and get to the line. So what's your preparation as far as that goes to minimize the impact of their scoring at the free throw line?
Yeah, I think that's an area where we've grown. You know, we were really poor early in the season at sending people to the line. Could go back to the first Seton Hall game. I think they shot 37 free throws on us. Xavier shot 27. And so it's been an emphasis of defending without fouling. Now you still got to guard them. You still have to be physical. But without, you know, bailing them out and without the late clock fouls, which we had a few of those the other night. And so we've been harping on that and trying to do a better job at that and being more disciplined in those moments. And with them, again, they move the ball around really, really well, lead the league in assists. And so you're in rotations. So you have to be able to close and cover without fouling them and putting them on the line.
All right. Thanks for your time, Coach.
Thank you.
We'll take one final question for Coach LaValle Jordan.
Our next question will come from John Steppe with Marquette Wire. Please go ahead.
Hey, Coach. Thanks for taking the time. Going back to Marcus Howard, first of all, do you remember the step back three he had that kind of went viral, and what was your reaction to that?
Which one?
The one he's had, against Fowler?
He's had a couple of those. Yeah, no, he's had a couple of those. That was a big, and he's, you know, he's going against Nate Fowler there, and that was a big moment, big shot, and impressive. But yeah, I've seen him do that before. I think equally or even more impressive were a few of the shots he hit over our guards, where they were draped all over him, and you know, he's driving down the lane and is able to gather his balance and get up a clean look and have it drop right in. And so, like I said, he's a talented young man. He's having a great year, playing with extreme confidence, and he's leading his team right now.
And with that, do you see anything differently from a year ago, or is it kind of just a matter of he's always had this and now he has the opportunity?
I think the difference I see is he's imposing his will on games. And, you know, that's different than just scoring points, if that makes any sense. He was a talented scorer a year ago. He had a 50-point game. But now it was a tight game here, and the next thing you know, he rattled off 11 straight points because, you know, so he's got a sense for the moment. He doesn't force it, and he puts his will and imprint on the game when the game needs it.
Thank you.
LaValle, thanks for your time as always. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Thank you.
Thank you.
And again, Butler's next game is at Georgetown on Saturday. We're moving on to St. John's and Coach Chris Mullen. St. John's won at Marquette 70-69 on Tuesday. They are hosting Providence at the Garden on Saturday at noon. 17-6 overall, 5-5 in the Big East. We have Coach Chris Mullen on the line. And we'll go right to questions for Coach Mullen. Hit *1 for questions, and the operator will introduce you.
And we'll take our first question from Evan Daniels with Fox Sports. Please go ahead.
Hey, Coach. I'm kind of polling the head coaches in the league about player of the year. Obviously, we're midway through, but just kind of getting the midway take. I guess I would imagine I know who you would say, but who would you say is the favorite to be midseason player of the year?
Yeah, I think it's pretty unique, Evan, right now. You've got, you know, Marquette and Villanova up top and everybody bunched together. So that's probably going to be determined on who creates some separation, you know, gets their teams some consistent wins here. But there's been a lot of great performance, a lot of great players. But like I said, I think that midway, a little premature, so in my mind anyway. I'm still, you know, we've got, you know, pretty much half the season, conference season left, so. I reserve that to a later date.
Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from David Woods with Indianapolis Star. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Coach. Do you feel like your NBA experience influences your ability to, I guess, manage your team through ups and downs and getting proper rest? Because, I mean, your NBA teams play more than twice as many as college, and this has been kind of a scramble of the Big East season.
You know, everyone's got different experiences, and I think you apply them accordingly. Yeah, but I mean that's a big factor. You know, getting rest and recovery is a huge factor at every level. You know, I think, you know, with the phone and the Fortnite and all these different influences, you know, you try and do the best you can, but you can't, you know, you put them in bed, but you can't make them sleep, you know. So, I mean, it's, you can see it. I see it different, you know. I've done other studies across the NBA about sleep deprivation and, you know, if you know past a certain time, but some of that is the way these kids grow up. So, I mean, ideally, yeah, you want to get your 8 hours of sleep, but there are a lot more distractions now.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Adam Zagoria with SNY. Please go ahead.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good morning, Adam.
Are you going to get a chance to get out and do some recruiting this weekend? And if so, you know, what kind of message do you think it sends when you go to an event, you know, with your staff or, you know, you as opposed to just an assistant?
Yeah, we'll probably be out this weekend. As far as, you know, who's that game, we kind of, Matt heads all that up, our schedules. You know, I think I found over the course of time, it's changed a little bit. I think it's more quality time than quantity. And then, you know, being very transparent and having the right system, the right fit. As you know, the transfer numbers are way, way up. So that would tell me at some point they listen to the wrong thing or not really looking where they fit, you know. So across the board at every level, it really gets down to style of play, relationship with your coaches and teammates, and are you going to play? So, yeah, recruiting is the lifeblood of every program. I think you have to be transparent and realistic what players fit your program and not just chase, you know, effect and things like that, because obviously with the numbers what they are, like I said, you still got to be, as a player and a program, finding the right fit for that player so it works out.
And if I could just follow up with an encore question, obviously you got the big win at Marquette. I think you have 5 of your next 6 at home, Chris. How much momentum can you build here, you know, towards a potential NCAA tournament bid with these stretch of home games?
Yeah. I mean, look, I've said it a lot and lived it, and I don't get to boring, but you know, especially now the way the conference is stacked up with everyone's kind of piled up on each other, each and every game is going to be important, but you only can play one at a time. You know, we're not playing doubleheaders, so right now I'll focus on Providence, Sally, noon at the Garden.
Thanks. Good luck.
Thank you.
We'll take one final question for Coach Chris Mullen.
We'll go next to Roger Rubin with Newsday. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Roger.
Chris, you guys have just sort of come off of maybe the most challenging stretch of the schedule with the 3 road games. You guys played well and won at 2 of the most difficult places to play on the road in the conference. are there some keys for you guys as you move forward to not, like, taking a big exhale and realizing that, like, this may be your moment, given the schedule like Adam was describing, that, like, you guys can really grab it? How do you resist the human nature side of things to, you know, take a deep breath after doing well on these on this road trip?
Yeah, we always stress. You know, everyone has long-term goals, right? And then we always stress what the daily habits you need to accomplish them. So even before the road trip, we didn't really stress three games on the road. We stressed the game that was coming up next. And look, we do talk about what we want to accomplish, but we always get back to what we need to do on a daily basis to accomplish that. And that goes down to individual responsibilities and accountability. And then as a team, what we have to do, you know, each game is going to change too, what our focus is and what strengths and weaknesses are of our opponent. And that's where we put all our energy and effort into.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Chris, thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Appreciate the time.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Thank you. Thanks.
Now we are moving on to Kevin Willard and Seton Hall. Seton Hall, another team that's been off since last Saturday. At Butler, Butler came away with a 70-68 win. They're back at the Prudential Center on Saturday against Creighton. Kevin, thanks for joining us. If you can give us a thought or two on the matchup with Creighton, and then we'll open up for questions.
Yeah, John. Obviously a tough matchup. You know, this time of year, I think they're all tough. Really impressed with the way Martin Crample's playing. I just think he's playing terrific basketball. Really impressed with how they battled last night. It just shows you how good of a coach Greg is, playing short man without Zigorowski, and obviously I think one of the best players in the league, Tayshaun Alexander. So going to be a tough matchup. Be good to finally get back playing again, though.
Questions for Coach Kevin Willard. It's star one on your telephone.
And we will take our question from Jerry Carino with Asbury Park Press. Please go ahead.
Hi, Kevin. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jerry.
You mentioned, maybe it was after the last game, about getting guys to play with offensive confidence. What's your message been to Sandro? It seems like he's been one of those guys who maybe hasn't been as confident in his shot lately.
Well, I think the biggest thing is what we've tried to get our guys to understand is, you know, how you practice and how you play in practice is going to be how you perform in the game. And I think, you know, being a young team and having some guys, you know, really going through the league the first time, and just trying to get all these guys to understand that, you know, if you want to shoot 4 or 5 threes in a game, then you better be in practice when we're playing, you better be shooting 12 to 15 threes in live scrimmage action, just so you're getting your confidence and you're getting your feel in practice. And I think that's something that we've been stressing a little bit for the last, you know, 7 to 10 days, is, you know, really try to start taking some game shots in practice and getting your confidence in practice and not just relying on trying to make a shot in the game.
Thanks, Kevin.
We'll take our next question from John Niatawa with Omaha World Herald. Please go ahead.
Go ahead, John.
John's left. Oh, you got me?
Yep.
Got me?
Now.
Sorry about that. Yeah. Had that mute button on. My bad. Martin Crample, you mentioned him, Kevin. What stands out about the way that he makes an impact and sort of adds a different wrinkle to that offense?
Well, I think what I'm so impressed with him, obviously everyone knows his injuries over the last few years, but he's at such a consistent level. He's always moving. He's always running. He's constantly in motion. You know, he's not a typical big guy where you can bang and you know what you're going to get for him. I think he puts a lot of pressure on defenses with the way he runs the floor. He puts a ton of pressure on pick and roll defense, because sometimes he's setting the pick and roll, sometimes he's picking and popping, sometimes he's slipping. He puts a lot of pressure on your weak side defense. I'm just really impressed. You know, he's playing 30 minutes a game in league play, and he's playing at he's just his energy level is really good, and it just I'm just really impressed, and it's good to see him come back and play at a high level because he seems like a great kid.
Appreciate that. Thanks.
Our next question will come from Sean Brennan with BigEast.com. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Kev.
Hey, Shawnee.
Hey, listen, I'm doing a story for the Big East Tournament program, and the gist of it is because everyone except for right now Villanova and Marquette, everyone's bunched together, is there more of a chance of this being more of a wide-open tournament than in past years, or are we still looking at Villanova as the, you know, the road you have to go through?
I don't know. I think until someone beats him, Sean, I think it's Villanova. It still goes through Villanova. But I would say we've played everybody besides Creighton and Georgetown now. That by far, top to bottom. You know, I don't think there's any weak teams on the bottom anymore. I think in the last two or three years, there's been teams on the bottom that you know just haven't been as good, and I just don't see, you know, I look at Xavier, who's 3-7 right now, or Providence, and they can beat anybody. They're as good as anybody in the league, and I just think there's no weakness in the bottom half of the league as there have been maybe in the last two or three years.
Kevin, like, Villanova's 10-0, but four of their conference wins have been by 6 points or less, including last night going to overtime. So would you say, I don't know if more beatable is the right way, but are they more vulnerable? Maybe?
We lost by 30, so I'm not sure I'm the right guy. Yeah. Not sure I'm the right guy to answer that question.
I don't want to bring that one up here.
You might want to ask the guys that have kept it close. We couldn't keep it close. I don't know. I think when you have 2 fifth-year seniors – like Phil Booth and Pascal, who have been through, who've won national championships and have won close games and battles. You still have to, you know, it's like they did last night. Phil Booth made two huge plays last night when they needed to. So I'm a big believer in, you know, when you have fifth-year seniors and you have seniors that, you know, you can really rely on them. I think that's what Villanova is doing right now.
Okay. Thanks, Pat.
Thanks, Sean.
Moving next, we'll go to J.P. Pelsman with Rivals.com.
Hello, Kevin.
Hey, J.P.
Hey, I just want to ask you, I mean, you know, I obviously it wasn't optimal to have, you know, the two bye weeks so close together. And you had in December, you had a couple of monumental wins away from home. You know, January with the road, all the travel is kind of a meat grinder. Do you feel like from what you've seen so far this week, do you feel like you guys have kind of refreshed themselves a little and have kind of a good, you know, mindset or vibe going into this final stretch?
Well, I mean, it's the thing I like about this team the most. I mean, they've had a great attitude from day one, and their work ethic has been tremendous. And it's, you know, so this week is the week's been good, but it's been no different than any other weeks, to be honest with you, JP. It's just they've come in with a great attitude. They've come in understanding where we are and what we have left, and they've really come in with the understanding of how good of a team Creighton is. I think that's one thing I've really got away from them is that they're focused on Creighton and they're focused on getting better as a team. And, you know, I've just loved their attitude all year. It's been a fun team to be around. It's been a fun team to coach, so... yeah, they've been, I think I'm hoping they're ready for the rest of the grind.
Thanks, Kevin.
We'll squeeze in one final question for Kevin Willard.
I don't think that's necessary, John.
We'll go next to Adam Zagoria with SNY. Please go ahead.
I knew that was coming. That's why.
Yeah.
You're trying to escape me, right?
I was trying to escape you, Ad.
Well, at least I'm not Zach. It could be worse.
It's very true.
Just to follow up on Sean's questions about Villanova there, I mean, a lot of people thought, you know, especially early, it was going to be kind of a down season for them, and here they are undefeated in the league in 19-4. I guess you talked about the fifth-year seniors. What about Jay's ability to work in some of the younger players, you know, after losing four guys to the NBA last year? What does that say about his coaching style, and how have you seen him do that?
Well, I mean, I think it's, you know, I say this to everyone that asks me about Jay. I think you're looking at probably the elite coach in college basketball right now. I think he's developed his system. He recruits his system, but I think he does not get enough credit for how good of a game coach he is, how good he manages the game. Every time I've played against him, I've always walked away, and every time I watch one of his teams play, he is by far, I think, the probably the best college basketball coach in the country, and I think we're very lucky to have him in the league. And obviously, I don't like playing against him because he's so good, but he doesn't get enough credit for just how good of a game coach he is.
Okay, good stuff, Kev. Good luck.
Thanks.
Kevin, thanks as always. Appreciate it.
I feel like I was on Villanova Public Radio, John. Have a good one, John.
All right. Thanks. We are moving on to Coach Steve Wojciechowski in Marquette. Marquette played on Tuesday. St. John's came away with a 70-69 win. And Marquette getting ready to play Villanova on Saturday at the Fox broadcast, 2:30 Eastern tip. And we have Coach Wojciechowski on the line. And, Steve, if you can give us a thought or two on the Villanova game, which is upcoming, and then we'll open up for questions.
Yeah, obviously, you know, we have a huge challenge coming up with Villanova coming into town. I have so much respect for Jay and what they've done as a program in preparing for them. It's not fun, but you got to admire, you know, how well they've come along as a team and the job that Booth and Pascal have done as leaders. It just jumps out at the page, and a lot of their younger guys are really stepping up for them now, and going to be a heck of a challenge for our program.
Questions for Coach Steve Wojciechowski. Hit star 1 on your telephone. The operator will introduce you.
We'll take our first question from Sean Brennan with BigEast.com.
Morning, Steve.
Morning.
Hi, Steve. I'm doing a story for the tournament program about, you know, what you see the landscape may be playing out to be. Is it more wide open, you think? I know Villanova is still unbeaten, and you guys are right up there too, but everyone else kind of bunched together. Is it a little bit more wide open than in past years, or is, until further notice, Villanova still the kingpin?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, Villanova has been the standard bearer in our league, and rightly so. They've had outstanding teams, and they got a Hall of Fame coach. You know, I think the league is as competitive as it's been top to bottom since I've been in it. You know, I think anyone in our league can truly beat anyone else. And so the competitiveness and the closeness of games have been, I think, closer than it has been in any time since I've been here. So, you know, again, it's hard to answer those questions in the middle of conference season. But, you know, it's I would expect the Big East tournament to be hyper-competitive.
Okay, thanks, Dick.
Yep.
We'll take our next question from Joe Giuliano with Philadelphia Inquirer. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
You referenced Booth and Pascal in your opening remarks. I just wondered, what have you seen in Villanova that enables them to keep going, and have you seen a third or even a fourth player come in to assist Booth and Pascal with the load?
Well, I think it starts with those two guys, but they're an outstanding team, and you know, I think Gillespie's been on fire recently, especially from behind the 3-point line, and he's really stepped up his game. And you know, some of the other young guys that they have given them, you know, huge minutes, whether it's Bay or Samuels or Roundtree. You know, just they're an outstanding all-around team, and they don't beat themselves. They compete. They play hard for one another, and it's going to be a very difficult game.
And did you, going back to Tuesday night, did you feel that your team was looking ahead at all to Saturday on Tuesday during Tuesday night's game or preparing for it?
No. I mean, I think our guys, I don't think we prepared as well as we were capable of, but I don't think that was a result of looking ahead to Villanova.
Okay, thank you.
We'll take our next question from Adam Zagloria with SNY. Please go ahead.
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Evan was on here earlier asking a few coaches what they thought about the Player of the Year race. I mean, obviously there's a bunch of games left. A couple coaches said, you know, Marcus Howard. Do you think he's kind of separated himself in the Big East Player of the Year race, or do you still see, you know, maybe some other guys close to him?
Well, again, I mean, we're just over the halfway point of conference season. There's a lot of games to be played. And, you know, first of all, I mean, I'm not going to get into the Player of the Year race because I think when you go around our conference, the outstanding players that the Big East has, and there's a ton of them. When I watch them play, they're consumed with winning. So, you know, the team that wins a lot has a guy that separates himself will win that award. But you know, I know we're certainly not worried about that, and neither is Marcus.
Well, I guess how about this? How has he, you know, how has his level of play? Would you say it's exceeded what you thought it was going to be this year, or how would you assess his overall level of play?
Well, I think Marcus has had a great year. You know, we've shouldered him with a lot of responsibility, not just scoring the basketball, but being a leader and improving in areas that, he really wants to focus and get better at. And I think he's gotten better as a player. He's handled the responsibility that we've asked him to carry at a high level, and he's just a joy to coach.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take our next question from Ben Steele with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Please go ahead.
Hey, Coach. You know, you guys have played so many close games this year and won most of them. I was just wondering, after reviewing the loss to St. John's, what do you think you guys could have done differently in the last 2 or 3 minutes?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously there's some possessions that you'd like to have back, but you know, a lot of times in close games, you know, the end of the game gets the most attention, and which is understandable. But there's plays throughout the game, and in our conference, you know, a lot of these games are 1 or 2 possession games. And a play that happens early in the first half, early in the second half, where you don't have game plan discipline, or you're not playing as hard as you should, you know, those things can come back to bite you. So, certainly we could have executed better at the end of the game, defensively and offensively. But again, the final possession, that's not the only possession that can win or lose a game.
Thanks, man. I have a few questions for you later this afternoon.
Okay, sounds good.
We're going to squeeze in one final question for Coach Wojnarowski.
And moving next, we'll take Kevin McNamara with the Providence Journal. Please go ahead.
Yes, Steve, can you just speak to the challenge of guarding St. John's? Obviously, they've had some success against you this year, and how difficult they can be, and maybe how different they are from guarding Villanova, you know, two of the better offensive teams.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, they have really good players, and they are unusual in that their center is an outstanding three-point shooter, so they can put you in some tricky spots because he plays away from the basket even much more than he does by the basket, you know, and the guys they throw it into in the post are their guards. And so, you know, they force you to make some tough decisions on the defensive end. Really good isolation players and one-on-one scores, and then they have a kid in Ponds who can take over a game. So, I mean, they're a dynamic offensive team. I think they're a really good defensive team as well. I do see some similarities with Villanova. Obviously, Villanova's got outstanding players too. Their spacing is incredible. Their ability to hurt you from behind the three-point line is elite. And, you know, they have lineups where you get five guys who are playing around the perimeter.
much like St. John's, and that opens up, you know, driving opportunities. And so, you know, again, they're both outstanding teams.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Steve, we're running over. We appreciate the extra time. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Thanks. Now we are moving on to Georgetown and Coach Patrick Ewing. The Hoyas played last night. They won at Providence 76-67. Georgetown right now 5-5 in the league, 15-8 overall. Back in action at home on Saturday against Butler. We have Coach Patrick Ewing on the line. Coach, thanks for joining us. If you can give us a brief comment on last night's win against Providence and then your thoughts on facing Butler.
Yes, it was a very good road win for us versus Providence, against a quality team. You know, both teams played extremely hard. Both teams' record is not indicative of, you know, how good of a team we are. Both teams scrapped and clawed, and we were fortunate enough to be able to come away with that win.
Questions for Coach Patrick Ewing. It's *1 on your telephone, please.
And we'll take our first question from John Steppy with Marquette Wire. Please go ahead.
Sorry, I had a question for Wojciechowski before.
Okay, let's move on to the next question, please.
We'll take our next question from David Woods with Indianapolis Star. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Coach. I was wondering how your NBA experience influences you in managing your team, both with the roller coaster, you know, ups and downs, going through many losing streaks, many winning streaks, and also the rest.
You know, I think that all of my experience helps me, not just the fact that I've been in the NBA, but also the fact that I played and, you know, everything that they go through, everything that they feel, I've also felt. So that helps me to, you know, determine, you know, when about the rest or, you know, how long we should practice or, you know, giving them some, you know, shorter practice or time off. So I think everything that all my experiences encompass, you know, or give me a feel for, you know, my coaching style.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Moving next, we'll go to Ava Wallace with Washington Post. Please go ahead.
Hi, Ava.
Hey, Pat. How are you?
I'm fine.
I am wondering, after the past two games, what you're making of your defense. Obviously, Villanova had some shooting troubles in the first half, and Providence did as well, but how much do you attribute their kind of off nights or off periods on offense to your guys' game plan and execution?
I think our defense is definitely getting better. You know, we have guys that's, you know, we play some guys that can play defense and play defense very well. And at times, you know, we're leaving them on the floor instead of going with just offense. So I try to, you know, have a blend of both defensive stoppers, guys that we feel that can, you know, guard elite players and, you know, mix them in with the guys that who we believe are very good scorers. So, you know, I think that it helped versus Villanova. We fell short at the end. Also, Jesse was in foul trouble. Mac didn't have a very good game. And then in Providence, I thought that was one of our biggest wins in terms of our energy, our effort, and our ability to rebound the basketball.
And I wanted to ask about James as well. He's kept the turnovers really, really low throughout Big East play. Was that something that you guys focused on at the start of conference play, or have you noticed him just being a little bit more careful? What do you attribute that to?
I contribute it to his growth. You know, he came in at 17. He turned 18 about a month ago. And, you know, he's learning, but all the freshmen, they're learning. They're learning the difference between high school and college, you know, and I think that plays a key role in how good we're going to be. You know, I gave all of those guys a little leeway to make mistakes, and hopefully that they will learn from it and we'll be a better team in the second half of the year, and that's showing to be working out.
Patrick.
You're welcome.
And moving next, we'll go to Evan Daniels with Fox Sports. Please go ahead.
Hey, Coach. I'm doing a mid-season poll, kind of on the mid-season player of the year, and was curious if you could pick one guy. Who would you go with at the halfway point?
I really don't have, anyone I can think of right now. You know, we have so many different guys that has had, great season. It's really hard to say. Maybe Howard. Howard is, he's having a remarkable year for Marquette, the way that he's been putting up big numbers.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We'll take our next question from Tom Davis with 10 Sports. Please go ahead.
Morning, Coach. I was curious. Your team has shot so many more free throws than most of the Big East teams. Why is that such a valuable part of your offensive strategy to get to the line and hurt teams in that regard?
Well, that's part of my my coaching upbringing. I've always been taught that you want to get the ball inside, you want to shoot your threes, and you also want to get to the line. Those are and also you want to try to be a low turnover team. Those are some of the keys to become a successful team. And whenever we shoot the ball well at the free throw line, we're always right there in the game. So that's one of the keys to our success is to try to, get to the line and make as many free throws as we possibly can.
Okay, and lastly for me, the first game against Butler, you did not have Mac McClung. This game, you will have. How does that change what you guys want to get done offensively?
It doesn't change anything. We still want to play our style. We want to push the pace. We want to get the ball inside when we can by driving it or posting up. And we want to make sure that, we knock down our three-point shot at a high clip and, again, get to the free throw line. And then we have to be able to play defense against them. They're a very good offensive team, and we have to make sure that we can stop them.
Okay. Thanks for your time, Coach.
You're welcome.
And moving next, we'll go to Bobby Bancroft with SB Nation. Please go ahead.
Hey, Patrick.
How are you?
Is Jamarco Pickett sort of coming along at the right time offensively for you guys? Last night he was 4-for-4 from three, and he seemed like he was more active in the Villanova game as well.
Yes, he is definitely a lot more active, and we need for him to – to be assertive and to be active not only on the offensive end but also on the defensive end. I thought that, all year long he's been doing a very good job on the defensive end, but, he's been making a concerted effort of, taking his shots when he have it and, blocking shots and running and getting out in transition.
And also, Jesse Govan obviously had a tough game at Villanova going scoreless the first time since his freshman year. How did you like his bounce back yesterday, and did you have to take him aside and talk to him, or is that just something a senior understands how to respond from an outing like that?
Well, he was in foul trouble. Excuse me, hold up. The foul trouble hurt him. And then when he got in, he kind of, forced a couple shots and weren't able to hit them. But I would say that being in foul trouble, not being able to get out there and get in a good rhythm, that was the reason why he didn't play well versus Villanova. And I really didn't have to say too much to him. Providence, was a big game for us, for both teams. And, everyone who played, everyone, showed up and did something positive to help us to get a win.
Patrick, we're running overtime.
I hope you feel better.
Grab a glass of water there, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Have a good one.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
And now we are moving on to Xavier and Coach Travis Steele. Xavier's getting ready to host DePaul on Saturday. Right now, 3-7 in the league, 11-12 overall. Coach Travis Steele is on the line. Travis, thanks for joining us on the call. If you could give us some thoughts on the upcoming matchup against DePaul, then it'll open up for questions.
Yeah, obviously we're excited to play DePaul. It'll be the second time we've played them this year. We were very fortunate to get game one as first game of the Big East. So, you know, there's been a lot of time in between when the first time we played them here and the second time we're about to play them. So, you know, they're going to be very similar, though. You know, they got a really good team. They, obviously, Max Strus is an all-league level guy. He can really shoot, score the ball. And the combination that they've had with Coach Lato's done a great job with Paul Reed and implementing Femi, who's a grad transfer, and Jalen Butts up front, man. They really have a physical presence around the rim, both on the offensive and defensive side, especially on the glass. It's going to be a big challenge for us.
Questions for Coach Travis Steele. Hit star one on your telephone, please. The operator will introduce you.
We'll take our first question from Shannon Russell with The Athletic. Please go ahead.
Hey, Coach. How you doing?
Doing well, Shannon. How you doing?
I'm well. I was wondering, considering kind of the late stage of the season and the losing streak and the amount of minutes guys are playing, was this week a good week to kind of have a reset coming off the Creighton game and heading into DePaul?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we obviously took Monday off. We took Wednesday off as well to kind of get our batteries recharged here. And you know, honestly, just, you know, for us, you know, just simplifying things. You know, it's more I just want to be really good at a few things. And I thought we'd been able to really hone in on that on Tuesday, and then we're going to do that today as well and tomorrow and get ready for DePaul. But I think absolutely it came at a nice time so we can kind of recharge our batteries.
And the things you're trying to simplify and work on, are those on the defensive end or offensive or some of both?
A little bit of both. You know, I think offensively just what we're trying to do is obviously take care of the ball and then just be able to move off penetration and just make the right plays. And it's just really simplifying offense to that. And then defensively, you know, number one is blocking out. You know, number two would be jumping to the ball. Number three would be high hands on the catch. Just simplifying again, like to those areas, being really, really good in those things, I think that'll really help us.
And I have one more quick question. You know, there's been a lot of challenges in your first year as head coach. Who do you lean on or seek advice from outside your coaching staff?
You know, I still talk a lot to Sean Miller and Chris Mack and my brother John Gross. You know, those three guys, I talked every week to those guys. You know, and again, obviously our staff knows our team better than anybody does. And, you know, because we deal with our guys on a daily basis, and I've been blessed with a really good staff. But, you know, I do talk to those guys a lot, and they give me advice kind of throughout the year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from Kevin McNamara with the Providence Journal. Please go ahead.
Yes, Travis. I believe half the teams in the league have had at least a three-game losing streak. In this league that is clearly so balanced, how do you kind of get your team to realize that, you know, you're only one game away from maybe some prosperity?
Yeah, I think, Kevin, you make a great point. You know, again, there's a lot of parity in the league. There's a lot of close games. It seems like most of the games are really, really close. And it's like I told our guys, you know, whether we lost a close one against Marquette or a close one to Providence at our place. We had opportunity to win those games. At Georgetown, we had an opportunity to win that game. And, you know, we got to be able to close those games, and it's next game mentality. And it's like I told our team, nobody feels sorry for us. You better believe that. You know, we're going to get everybody's best shot. You got to bring your A game every night and every day to practice in order to give yourself just a chance to win in this league. You know, just trying to stay positive with them. And like you said, seeing the bigger picture and that, hey, every game is close and anybody can beat anybody in this league.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from JP Pelsman with Rivals.com. Please go ahead.
Move on to the next questioner, operator.
We'll move to our next question from Adam Baum with the Cincinnati Inquirer. Please go ahead.
Hey, Travis. What's going on, man?
Man, nothing. How you doing, Adam?
I'm hanging in there. So, you know, one of the things I think that's interesting about your team is that, you know, even when things kind of don't go your way and you're running bad, like a five-game losing streak, your guys seem to really remain upbeat. They don't seem broken at all by, you know, defeat. What do you think of kind of the way that they've handled some adversity mentally? And obviously, you know, you want to bounce back from that with wins, but what do you think of the way that they've kind of managed all this?
You know, it's hard. You know, like the losses can pile on, and, you know, it is hard, man. It's hard to you can easily get down. And, you know, my biggest thing is, you know, I always want to I want it to bother us, obviously. You hate to lose, but at the same time, you don't want that to affect your ability to go next play or your energy level or your investment in practice. And, you know, I have been pleased. You know, it's as a coach, you try to guide your guys as best as you possibly can through the peaks and valleys of the year. And our guys, I think, are doing a pretty good job of it. I mean, I think the energy level we've had at practice on Tuesday this week was off the charts. I thought it was probably the best practice we've had all year. You know, and that was good to see, you know, but, you know, again, we never want to accept losing. I want to learn from it though. And every moment is a learning, you know, opportunity, for our group. And we hopefully we can bounce back here against DePaul, but I have been proud of our guys' response in practice.
You know, I think, earlier in the year, you talked about, you know, Quentin Gooden having a voice at practice and Tyreek Jones having a voice. Who's really kind of emerged as the guy that's in a uniform with a voice that kind of everyone else listens to? Has someone kind of taken those reins on, you think?
You know, I think Paul has a little bit. You know, Scruggs, you know, he's the same guy every day. You know, he's a warrior. And he always has a voice, whether things are going good, bad, or indifferent. He's the same guy. And, you know, I think Tyreek and Q definitely have a voice at times, and they got to have those voices. Their voice has got to be louder when things aren't going well. But I do think Paul has kind of emerged a little bit in that area.
Awesome. Thanks a lot for the time, Coach.
Thank you.
Travis, we're running over a little bit. We appreciate your time, as always. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Now we're moving on to Villanova and Jay Wright. Villanova played last night, won in overtime against Creighton, 66-59, getting ready to go to Marquette for Saturday. Jay, thanks for joining us. If you can give us a brief comment on last night's game and then your thoughts on the upcoming game with Marquette.
Sure, John. Great game last night. Great atmosphere in the Finn, and Creighton played a really smart, tough game with a great game plan. You know, as well as games, you kind of feel like they outplayed us, but we were able to just find a way, and probably playing at home, having a home crowd might have been the difference. The crowd kept us in it, even though we weren't playing efficiently, but I think a lot of that was because of just a great effort by Creighton. Playing with two guys down, they deserve a lot of credit. You know, now we got to go on the road to play at Marquette, and on Marquette Day again. I don't know what it is, but we play on Marquette Day every time before we go. Someone will say, "Hey, you know, it's Marquette Day," and now I'm starting to say, "Yeah," for like the fifth time. Against an outstanding team. This is obviously one of the best teams in the country. They've proved it by beating teams like Louisville, Kansas State, Wisconsin, Buffalo. Just really well-rounded team that's really developed into a great defensive team. So we look forward to getting out there to Milwaukee and playing Marquette.
Questions for Coach Jay Wright. It's *1 on your telephone.
We'll take our first question from John Fanta with Big East Conference. Please go ahead.
Hey, Jay. It's something to think that this is the first Big East team to start conference play 10-0 in 20 years, especially, you know, with the past couple of teams that you've had. Why has your group been able to be this consistent?
Basically, leadership of two seniors that, you know, that have seen it all. Probably, you know, we've probably got the two most experienced guys in the league, having them on the same team, and being examples to the young guys how to prepare every day, every night, regardless of the venue, regardless of the opponent, regardless of, you know, physical challenges, mental challenges. Phil Booth and Eric Pascoe are just, you know, truly special, valuable players in college basketball.
To follow up on that, how much have you seen Sadiq Bey evolve, especially recently?
You know, he's one of those dream freshmen in that, you know all of your freshmen coming in have a chance to grow. He's just one of those guys that just listens. He's physically ready. His competitive spirit was at this level coming in, you know, which is rare for a freshman. And with any success he has, he just continues to be coachable and to get better every day.
And we'll take our next question from Joe Giuliano with Philadelphia Inquirer. Please go ahead.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, JoJo.
Marcus Howard, what makes him so special, and why is he so hard to guard?
He's got all of the qualities of a great offensive player. You know, some guys are good at moving without the ball and coming off screens, which he's great at, but they can't create their own shot. Or vice versa. Some guys are good off the dribble to create a shot, but they don't move well without the ball. And then some guys are just scorers, you know, and they can't find the open man. They can only get their own shot. He does everything. He's got every aspect of the game. He's got deep range. He's got a mid-range game. He can get to the rim. He just complete, you know, which I guess sounds boring, but when it's true that you have every aspect of all the offensive skills, that's special.
Okay, thanks, Jay.
You got it.
Moving next, we'll go to Ben Steele with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Please go ahead.
Hey, Jay, how you doing, man?
Hey, Vince, how are you?
This goes along with the previous question, but, you know, Marcus Howard's step-back jumper has become such a lethal move for him this year, and I was just wondering, as an opposing coach, how do you tell your guys how to defend that?
Well, that one is one of the shots that is really difficult to stop. It's almost as if you have to say, all right, that one we got to give him, you know?
Yeah.
And then how effective he is hitting those is probably, you know, what you have to live and die with. Because as I said earlier, if you get up on him, he's good enough to get in the lane and get mid-range and get to the rim and finish. And he also finds other people. And I think part of what makes him so successful is he's got great shooters around him. If he didn't have the great shooters around him, he wouldn't be able to do a lot of the things he can do, because you could just double him and get it out of his hands, but you can't do that.
Yeah. Thanks, Coach. See you Saturday.
You got it. Yes, sir.
And we'll take our next question from John Steppy with Marquette Choir. Please go ahead.
So, Coach, St. John's has done a slightly better job than most. I mean, relatively only 17 points against Marcus Howard. Is there anything you can pull from Tuesday's game when looking ahead at Marquette?
Well, St. John's is one of the teams in our league that can guard with all five of their players. They can guard any type of player. I don't think any other team in our league has that ability. Maybe Xavier a little bit. But it's hard for the rest of us to watch what they do. And they gave us problems for the same reasons. You know, it's hard for us to watch what they do and then try to emulate that, because we don't have the same personnel. I think it's what makes them a real dangerous team. I didn't get to see their game against Duke, but I thought they would have given Duke more problems because of that. But then when I saw them play Marquette, it's exactly what they did to us. You know, they can, anybody on their team can guard on the perimeter, and anybody, and the same guys can guard in the post.
And then how much more dangerous are they when Theo John's kind of taking his step up? Ed Morrow is now on the team too.
Yeah, I think there's a number of additions to their team that have made them better this year. You know, probably most important, what's made them better is the veteran guys getting older, but there's improvement in each guy, and then there's a good additions, but Theo John just developing and getting so much more efficient, effective, and forceful has made, you know, a great shooting team, you know, also a high percentage inside scoring team.
Thanks for the time.
You got it.
One last question for Coach Jay Wright.
We'll take our next question from Adam Zagoria with SNY. Please go ahead.
Hey, Jay, how you doing, buddy?
How you doing, my man?
I think you've talked about this a little bit, but just with your approach to the freshmen and the younger players, has that changed? Has your philosophy approach changed to the younger guys this year a little bit because you've had to utilize them more? And then, I mean, obviously you're not looking ahead to next year, but you are bringing in a tremendous recruiting class next year. Has anything you've done with the freshmen this year informed, you know, how you might play the freshmen more, say, next year?
Well, we don't really have a philosophy, to be honest. It's based on a number of variables, you know, how many veterans you have in the program at the time, you know, and also the need for each position. You can have a great, you know, just say you have Javon Quinley come in, but you have Phil Booth and Colin Gillespie, who are veterans, you know, are at the same position, you know. There's so many variables that dictate how you use each freshman, as opposed to a specific philosophy. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I thought last time in the call you talked something more about how you had kind of reevaluated, you know, how you approach the freshmen. I'm not sure.
Reevaluated within this year, you know, because we played a lot of them early and just thought they'd be a little bit more prepared, and they weren't at the time.
Right.
So we went with a little bit more veteran guys, but now they're coming, you know, at the end of the season. So that might have been where I was talking about reevaluating.
Yeah. And just if I could just follow up on your Marcus Howard comment. I mean, you had high praise for him, Jay. Would you say he's the favorite for Conference Player of the Year at this stage?
Yeah, he's definitely. Yeah, definitely. You got to look at what he's done and what the team's done. You know, I always, you know, look at. We always try to look at the best player on the best team. You know, so you got to say he's definitely up there.
Thanks, buddy. Good luck.
Thanks, man.
Jay, thanks for the time. As always, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Thanks a lot.
Okay, John. See you, buddy.
Thanks. Thanks everyone for joining us on our call today. We're back in 2 weeks. Same schedule. Same phone number.
And everyone, this does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.